This is the word of the Lord. So I believe in one true God, and in him I live. In this casual, come-as-you-are world in which we live, I find it a spiritual uplift, one that fills me with joy, to come into God's house and to set the inner dials of the heart on reverence and awe, especially this week with the theme of the week, Holy, Holy, Holy is the Lord of hosts. All the earth is full of his glory. We think of those multi-winged seraphs circling the throne of grace. With two wings, they hide their faces with a deep sense of reverence and as is proper. With two wings, they cover their feet. And with two wings, they have sustained flight and antiphonally toss to each other the paeans of praise. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The Holy Trinity. What an awesome mystery. And what happened to Isaiah as he peered into that vision is what happens to every human being, including you and me, when we peer into the throne of the righteous, holy, just God. Would that we had the wings to cover our faces and hide our feet and somehow to sustain flight. Isaiah's reaction is what ours should be. Woe is me, I am ruined, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among people of unclean lips. But the holy seraphs circle the throne of grace, and with sacred tongs that take a live coal and touch Isaiah's lips with the hot news of the gospel. Your transgression is taken away, your guilt. Your sin is atoned for. And that prophetic live coal, which Isaiah foresaw and by which he would be saved in that hope for the promised Messiah, reached its ultimate fulfillment in the fullness of time when God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. How wonderful is that great good news. And so we today, too, with the undergirding of the marvelous organ, in this lovely house of worship, join the angelic hosts in our hymn of praise, those wonderful words that Martin Luther put into poetry. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. So we confess the one true God, as was so economically done in the Augustana. Our churches, with common consent, do teach the decree of the Council of Nicaea concerning the unity of the divine essence and concerning the three persons, that it is true and to be believed without any doubting. That is to say, there is one divine essence which is called and which is God, eternal, without body, without parts, of infinite power, wisdom, and goodness, the maker and preserver of all things, visible and invisible. And yet, there are three persons of the same essence and power who also are co-eternal, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And the term person they use, as the fathers have used it, to signify not a part or quality in another, but that which subsists of itself. Oh, the depth of the riches and of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. During our Lord's ministry, at the time when he sent out the 72 disciples, and they returned about the marvelous power of this lively coal of the gospel and its effect on people's lives, our Lord, filled with joy in the Holy Spirit, turned to his heavenly Father and said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you've hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. And then a little later, he turned to his disciples and said to them privately, Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings wanted to see what you see, but did not see it, to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. This I believe. And so also St. Paul, as one born out of due time, he did not have that vision of the throne, but there was that bright noonday light that outshone the sun. And there he encountered someone with this most interesting question, Who are you, Lord? And he was directed to go to Damascus, and when Ananias touched his eyes, he regained his vision and was baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. He too saw, really, the radiance of God's glory in his Son, Jesus Christ. The exact representation of his being, as the writer to the Hebrews puts it. And he too became one, instead of finding search warrants and prison arrests, found it possible to say by the power of the Holy Spirit, I believe, and so in him I live, even at the cost of going to prison for and in the Lord Jesus Christ. And his jail cell becomes his letter writing office. And to the Ephesian Christians, he makes a few suggestions on how to reflect this quintessence of perfection and harmony, this divine concordia, if you will, the unity of the three persons in one Godhead. He suggests to his Christian friends, in the power of the Holy Spirit, overcome egocentrism, me-firstism, and live a new life worthy of the calling that you now have, the calling that you have received. Overcome that old Adam tendency towards pride and pushiness. Replace it, and this is a lifelong task of sanctification in the power of the means of grace. Replace it with humility and all gentleness. Overcome that agitated, restless, insatiable appetite for greed and success, which sometimes steps on people, pushes them out of the way. Replace it with patience, forbearance, learning to get along with others in the same love that God has accepted us. And then there's that cantankerous, disruptive spirit begetting quarrels and divisions. This can happen in the home, in the classroom, on the campus, in the churches, in the organizations of the world, political or otherwise. Replace it with a dedicated, speedy, do-it-now effort to maintain the unity that the Holy Spirit has revealed in the Trinity. The unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I'm no good at wrapping gift packages. My wife is. But St. Paul tied this package of suggestions with a nice gift ribbon with 7 big bows on it. And it says, one body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father who is over all, in all, through you all. To him be praise forever and ever. What do we do with all this? Isaiah was so thrilled to hear the good news that his guilt is taken away, that his transgression is atoned for. What should I do? Here am I. Send me. Send me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.